The following program is produced and furnished in conjunction with Kevin Stanfield and Claude Jennings, who are entirely responsible for its content. Sorry, guys, you are on your own.
This is the Federal Football Report, a weekly wrap-up of all things burgundy and gold. The Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio. Here are your hosts, Kevin Stanfield and Claude Jennings.
Ladies and gentlemen, things feel a little weird, kind of crazy. You know, it's a weird kind of crazy day. It's Halloween, by the way, Kevin. It's the Halloween edition of the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio. No one's dressed up. You know how they do that kind of wacky stuff? You know, whether you're a radio show that's also simulcast on television or on the internet. Number one, we're not. But then number two, even if you're not, you'll take these selfies and you say, hey, and we're in the studio and I'm wearing a goofy Frankenstein outfit.
Yeah,
we're not doing that, okay?
No,
you know why? Because we're not 10. You know?
That's right.
We don't have pushy, bossy producers and suit executives telling us, hey, we need you to dress in these costumes. Make the show funny because people are going to laugh when they see you in costumes. We're not doing that.
Yeah, it's become a tradition on the Today Show, man, because they have Matt Lauer and Al Roker dressing up like Wonder Woman and all this stuff. Man. Come on, they could not pay me enough. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
No.
They just couldn't pay me enough.
We're not going to do that.
I got a special news bulletin, though. I got I celebrated a birthday recently, and I want to make this announcement. A dear friend of mine, I know a dear friend of mine watches this, I mean, listens to this show, mm-hmm. would watch it if they were simulcasters, right? But his mom, Janice Lowry, who is the pastor's wife at our church, made me this birthday cake. She has a tradition. She always makes me a birthday cake.
Okay.
Now, I'm saying this because she said, what kind of cake do you want? I said, I don't really care as long as it's a real cake. She said, what do you mean? I said, I want all the gluten, all the butter, and all the sugar. Right? No gluten-free. I want my gluten. I grew up on gluten.
We want to eat cake,
I want to eat cake, right? Man, she made me this cake, man. It was like a pineapple upside down cake. Oh man. You can just see butter oozing out of it.
It must have been good because there's none here
in the
studio. There were no leftovers, clearly.
So, John, I know you're listening, man. Your mom made me this cake. It was awesome. All right.
There you go.
That's right.
Awesome birthday cake Halloween edition. Speaking of Halloween weirdness going on, what's up with the 27-27 tie? The Redskins go to London all the way to come away without a win or a loss.
Yeah, what's the point, man?
You fly all the way to London. The preparation schedules are hurried up and all mixed up, and you're traveling early, and then you tie the game. 27-27 to go 4-3-1 heading into the bye week. That tie. And what do you say? Not the win, not the loss, but a tie against the Cincinnati Bengals. The first thing I want to talk about, Kevin, is how do you process this tie? I mean, like, because it feels like a loss. But it's not a loss. And, I mean, if it came down to it, it doesn't hurt you the way a loss does if you have the same record at the end of the season as someone. So if the Skins end up being, I guess that would be 9-6-1, they would ultimately beat out a team that's 9-7.
9-6-1, I was thinking more what would be like
11-4-1, right?
Or
yeah.
Something like
so
that.
If they're 11-4-1 at the end of the season.
Yeah, okay.
They beat out a team, obviously, that's 11-5.
Right, yes.
And so, I guess that's the positive. But how many times does it come down to that? How many times do you even have a tie in the league?
It's so strange because we've had a tie 2 weeks in a row in the NFL.
That's
this
what's
season.
So funny. It's like you say, well, what are the odds? Because I can understand from the league's concept, because maybe it's time to change the overtime rules. I mean, it's for games not to end in the tie, because I can understand saying, okay, we'll give them, you know, a quarter to play. Whoever wins in the quarter, you know, they win the game. And if no one scores, it's a tie. And I say, well, what if there are ties? I can just see someone in the boardroom saying, that's not going to happen that often. I guarantee it probably will never happen.
Yeah.
And I remember it must have been 2 years ago. I'm trying to remember who was playing in that game, but there was a tie, and they said, I don't know, I didn't know what the tie rules were. I didn't know what the overtime rules was when it was over. I don't remember it happening a lot.
Then
now all of a sudden in the last week, because the last Thursday night game, I think, right, ended in a tie.
Yes.
Then you've got the Redskins game that ended in a tie, and then a couple weeks ago you had Seattle and Arizona, and they ended in a tie.
Yeah, it's bizarre. I don't know about changing the rule because, this is an anomaly, right? You know, but as far as your question about feeling like a win or a loss, it was a loss.
Yeah.
It was definitely a loss. We were in position to win, and And, you know, Dustin Hopkins, who has been doing a great job with the deep kickoffs. There have been no kickoff. Well, that one return where he had to kick off from his own 15 because of a stupid penalty. But he missed it.
Right. And the thing is, there have been missed field goals. There were missed field goals, in that game. If I'm not mistaken, Cincinnati's field goal kicker missed an extra point.
Yeah.
Then there was a field goal that he missed. Dustin actually missed a field goal himself earlier in the game. And he made a long field goal, but also missed one. And there was a weird kind of miss because, you know, normally the ball, even when if they miss it short, it'll bounce, kind of roll past the officials. Yeah, yeah. And it just bounced and stopped, like, right there at the officials' feet. And it's like, I guess that's no good. It was kind of funny. But, yeah, I mean, it was kind of a whole weird situation. What made it even more weird was that after the missed field goal, Cincinnati still had 2 minutes left in the game in that overtime period to try to make something happen, and they couldn't make anything happen.
No. It was interesting. And it never should have been in that circumstance. I don't know if you're ready to start talking about the end of the game. Yeah, if you recall, the score is at one point 27-24. Cincinnati was leading. And Burgundy and Gold, Captain Kirk, who had passed almost 500 yards, they just couldn't complete this series. So Cincinnati had the ball. And they got the ball about 6 minutes left. They were running the ball, made a couple of first down, big first down pass to Eifert over the middle, right? Mm-hmm. They had the ball first and 10. I believe it was on it was somewhere near midfield. Mm-hmm. Less than 4 minutes left.
Not a lot of time on the clock.
You're leading by three. The Cincinnati coach decides that he's going to pass the ball.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I said to myself, well, it's a good thing for Burgundy to go because the incomplete pass, the clock stops.
Precisely.
I said, okay. All right. Well, maybe outsmart him, right? Okay. Well, we'll just slip that one in on him. And he tried to throw to AJ Green. Didn't work. Threw it short, right? And he tried it again. Mm-hmm. So basically, they ran two plays, took every bit of 10 seconds.
Right. Correct.
And you're leading. The worst that should have happened at that point in the game is you should have taken it to the 2 minute warning. Or made the Burgundy and Gold use their timeouts.
That's what I want to say. I'm not sure how many timeouts they had, but you try to kill some clock. And who knows? You may actually get a first down from running the ball, but you also get them using their timeouts. And a lot of just miscues in the game and play calling seemed to be one of them. I mean, the Bengals were having success running the ball. And again, I don't know what it is, but we talk about it every single week, but it seems like you get these teams who have success running the ball against this defense, and then for some reason that I just can't explain, they stop running. Now, there were a lot of injuries going on, too, and so maybe they felt like, well, some of these guys are dropping. I think we can be able to pass the ball on them. But again, there's only 3 minutes left in this game.
Run the ball and get out
of there.
I mean, they've been better off taking the knee. I think they were
It's a long flight.
They were striving for
a long flight back
to the stupidest man in the world.
They were shooting for that title. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just, but you see that so much in the league nowadays, man. With this thing, the passing offense, it's like the fundamentals of football are lost, and time of possession is one of them. I ain't mad at you.
Yeah, kept him in the game. And by the way, you talked about the monster day that Kirk Cousins had. This brings me to another point. Kurt had a great game, but there seems to be something off with his chemistry with Pierre Garçon and DeSean Jackson. It just seems like he. We talked about you got to find your top players, got to find a way to get your top players and your playmakers the ball. But then there's just this thing that's intangible, this chemistry thing. You know, the things that we have here on the Federal Football Report, by the way, this chemistry. Everybody doesn't have that. And so a part of me is wondering, Kurt just doesn't seem to be gelling with DeSean Jackson or Pierre Garçon.
Well,
he doesn't seem to be, because I mean, like you said, monster stats, right? 36 of 56, 458 yards, 2 touchdowns, 1 interception. 9 of those went to Jamison Crowder. Another 9 went to Jordan Reed. 5 went to Vernon Davis. And Pierre Garçon, 6 catches for 67 yards. DeSean Jackson, 3 for 48.
I've noticed them using DeSean Jackson in the 5 yard outs and the
really weird. The ball down the field. Now I know Kurt outthrew him a couple times going deep, but that's not going to happen every time.
Right,
throw the ball deep to DeSean.
Why
that's
even
what
bother
he's here for.
Going out on the pass pattern? Right. Just let him
turn tight end for that.
Yeah. Back in the days I'm going to say Sonny Jurgensen, but even not since that. Mm-hmm. Let's say Doug Williams and Mark Rippon. And even Joe Theismann, they had a pass they called the hitch. If they were playing off the receiver, the receiver would just turn around, wait for the quarterback and throw the ball. Why even waste time running a route, man? That takes, you can gain 5 yards. It's like a handoff. He did throw the one pick when he tried to throw deep in the triple coverage for some reason. But it's it's almost as if they don't practice it, or if the teams know you don't want to get beat. You know, you are the stupidest man in America if you let DeSean Jackson beat you deep, right?
Right.
But what that should do is, like, that should open up your
everything.
Running game.
Yeah, it should
everything
open up the running game.
That.
It should open up everything underneath. But it just seems like the targets, he's targeting Crowder more. But maybe Jackson and Pierre opening up things for Crowder. I mean,
yeah, you know, I'm sure. Now, I don't know DeSean Jackson, but I'm sure that if he was on a winning team, as a contract year, he wouldn't mind, like, not being targeted, staying healthy. If you know that what he is doing is opening it up for everybody, because the rest of the league knows that.
Right.
They absolutely know it. And it's obvious you need to get him involved early,
but
they don't make it a point to do it. We know Jordan Reed is his safety net, and Vernon Davis is sort of like he's running Jordan Reed's route, so he's just more comfortable with the tight end. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's what this Jay Gruden offense is about, just throwing to the tight end. But, yeah, is something happening there or something not happening there with your key receivers? And I don't want to look at what this team would be like without those two guys.
No, you're absolutely
and
right.
And we might have to be looking
and
at
and
that
And we might
year.
Be sick because both of them are in a contract. Year. And I Deshaun's been pretty good as far as, you know, not saying anything, but you can look at Pierre Garçon. He kind of got into it again with Jay Gruden yesterday, and he definitely seems to be, not happy right now with his involvement.
Could be happier.
Yeah, I could be a little happier, you know. It's the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. The website is federalnewsradio.com. I'm Claude Jennings. He's Kevin Stanfield talking about the 27-27 tie in London yesterday, Halloween edition, by the way. What a great game for Halloween. It's kind of weird,
very scary.
Right? In
very
London,
scary.
Number one. NFL in London as a 27-27.
The home of the werewolves and the jackals and hives and all that.
You know, just kind of all kind of weird. Another thing, talking about this whole chemistry thing with the two receivers, something else we had noticed, and we noticed earlier in the week how we thought something funny was going on. We saw that Matt Jones was an injury scratch for the game. Like, I didn't know he was hurt. When did he hurt himself?
When did
he was hurt the last game.
Getting on the plane in London? Yeah, he wasn't hurt. They hadn't mentioned him being hurt.
Right.
You know, we all knew, though. We all knew that Fat Rob was going to take his job, right?
Yeah.
We all knew that. So, what was that about?
The interesting thing with Matt Jones, and we can even go on a deeper level after this comment here, is that to be his size, he doesn't finish the game, the run, the way you would assume someone his size would finish the run. Sometimes he finishes the run with his back turned to the defender and kind of stumbles back. But he does have moments when he runs hard, like he starts the run hard, he hits the hole hard, but then he slows down some. I don't know what that is. And he also has issues holding on to the ball. But the deeper point is these aren't new issues. These were issues he had when you had number 46 on the team.
Yeah, true.
Number 46 didn't have these issues. Number 46 never had these issues. But you decide that you're going to let Matt Jones be your guy, so much so that you let number 46 go to your rivals, right? And now, what, eight games in, we're done with this guy. How do you go from having a Pro Bowl back like Alfred Morris being your starter to saying we're done with him, we're going to go ahead and go with Matt Jones, he's the starting back, then you bring in Fat Rob in the first place, and then Matt Jones just eight games in being the same back he was, correct me if I'm wrong, he was this guy last year.
Yeah, same guy.
This
same
is
guy.
Not like, hey, something happened last year to Matt Jones and in the offseason and all of a sudden he's coming back and he's fumbling the ball a lot more and he's running a little soft. It's the same dude. The same back. He's the same player from last year, and now all of a sudden there's an issue.
Man, you mentioned Alfred Morris, and anybody who knows anything about football knows that the competitive nature of athletes. You see what Alfred Morris presence on the Cowboys has done to Ezekiel Elliott, because he was not running the same way.
And Zeke will tell you that Alf has helped me out a lot as far as being patient, seeing the holes, learning how to run behind this offensive line.
Now, I'm sure that there's guys on this team that would benefit from that same knowledge. It's great when you're wide open and you find a hole. It's a big, you can drive a Mack truck through it. It's great you can run as fast as you can in a straight line. That's wonderful. Unfortunately, everybody can do that. Right. Everybody can do it. When you need to improvise, find the hole,
hold on to that ball.
Sometimes you got to make the hole yourself,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. So yeah, that's going to take a little work. You know, this staff. You know, since Scott McLuhan has come here, we've seen more of a tendency to get football players. That's his favorite expression. We get football players.
We need some football players.
We need some football players.
Well, yeah, because
right?
You don't want to get tennis players.
You don't. Would not work out. And unfortunately, he might have a couple of tennis players on this roster. Yeah, but they hit some and they miss some. We gotta be realistic about it, right? Just like that's gonna happen.
Dustin Hopkins.
He had me so tongue tied. Yeah. Say it three times real fast. Dustin Hopkins. He just missed that extra point. It was a little bit more than an extra point. But yeah, back to the we'll get back to it. Because he lost the game. I'm a fan, first and foremost. He lost the game. The game was odds to win.
Right.
And he lost it. But it's back to the running game.
We'll get to that. Go right ahead with your running game point.
Fortunately, you know, Chris Thompson has been in this team for years. He's been injury prone. Mm-hmm. And he offers a burst, but he is not big enough, number one, to take that constant pounding. Number two, for blitz pickup. Mm-hmm. You saw a couple of times the Bengals came right up the middle. And these guys are so anxious to get out in their pass route, they're not hitting anybody, right? So they need some help in the running game. Then I don't know if it's going to come through the draft or through free agency, but I don't think that the starting running back for next year is on this team right now.
Wow, that's a big deal because, again, it's not like Alfred Morris was an old running back.
Right.
You know, would have been his fifth year.
Yep.
2012 was his rookie year. This would have been his fourth year. It's not an old guy. And you just parted ways with them thinking that this guy was going to work out, Matt Jones, and now you've got, you know, a rookie back in there taking his spot. And again, not because the rookie has shown that he's better than him, just that he runs hard and he doesn't fumble. Matt Jones has just been such a headache, I guess, for the coaching staff that they'd rather just kind of get him out of the way.
Oh, yeah. That's a good move.
Very, very disappointing. This is a Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio. Let's talk a little bit about Jamison Crowder, man. I mean, it looks like we've got a player there. And when you've got Crowder playing the way he's playing, who knows how Dobson's going to be when he finally gets on the field. You may not be too worried about whether Pierre Garçon or DeSean Jackson is happy, because if these two guys seem to be ballers along with Jordan Reed, you may figure we've got our guys for the future. You guys are just going to ride out this season.
I mean, this is Halloween, and apparently you brought out a Ouija board that says that Dotson is going to be something. I mean, who knows? Right. He might be all pro. He might be another A.J. Green, right? Mm-hmm.
What they've been comparing. It's what's so funny. There have been comparisons to A.J. Green, and this kid's not been on the field. Like,
right. Maybe he looks good in his uniform.
Yeah, he looked like A.J. Green when he was in TCU. But that's college. Everybody looks like that.
Like that commercial they had, this is what I did to get this jersey, and so-and-so just bought it on NFL.com. Dotson just bought his on NFL.com, right? Yeah, enough with that. Show me some comparison. Crowder has been balling. It's his second year, but he came into the league, like, showing no fear, and he runs that same slot intermediate route that they made Wes Walker so dangerous with the Patriots, right? Because you can't bump him because he's off the line in the slot, right? Unfortunately, that would be Deshaun's best position, too, because, you know, Deshaun is so slight. Mm-hmm. But Kurt has weapons. There's definitely weapons on his team, but
they're not meeting their full potential.
It's like a kid in a candy
offense.
Store.
Yeah, they're not meeting their
another
full
Halloween
potential.
Analogy, man. The kids go out trick or treat. They pour all this stuff out on the table. What do I eat first? Right. You know, maybe get a little bit of this, a little bit of that.
Yeah.
End up with a tummy ache.
Right. Yeah. Absolutely.
Ache, right?
And then everybody loses, or maybe they tie. It's the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio. One last thing before we go to commercial break, Kevin. We talked about the kicker, and let's talk about that.
Let's talk about the kicker. Okay.
It's okay to blame the kicker.
Yeah, absolutely.
He lost the game, because
right?
I know the line is always, you know, hey, we did a lot of different things here and it shouldn't have came down to that, or we can't really blame him because, no, you lost the game. You lost the game. Here's the thing about the kickers, okay? You got one job. All the other complex blocking schemes that the offensive line has to worry about, the double stunts and twists that the defensive line have to worry about, the zone coverage, zone man. What's Gruden's quote? We're going to double man, go high.
We're going to wham, little high man, little low man. Little man up in the bottom.
Mixing some man and some zone, which is good. Some two man and some single high man and some lurk.
You've got all that stuff that the secondary has to worry about. You've got playbooks that the quarterbacks are trying to memorize. You don't have to do all that. All you got to do is kick the ball. Right. You're supposed to kick the ball. You got that job. You're protected. No one can hit you late. No one can even come close to you late, and then you flop and fall, and there's a penalty. No one can touch you. You're the kicker, right? No one hits you. You're protected. All that stuff. I mean, you probably don't have to work out that much. You can kind of have your own little space over in the weight room. Nobody bothers you. You're the kicker. All you got. Very few pressure moments. Now, don't expect a lot out of you. We only expect you to kick the ball. So when you don't do that, it's okay to blame the kicker.
Yeah, absolutely.
I've been listening for almost 24 hours to all these folks talking about, well, we can't really blame him. He's been doing great. So, yes, he's been making a lot of field goals, but that's what he's paid to do. And, yeah, no one's saying kick him off the team. It's just, yeah, we lost because of the kicker. That's the truth. He missed the field goal. That would have won the game.
They put him in position to do what he had to do. How many other positions have a little practice area on the side? Like, right. The running backs don't have little practice lines that they have to run through. Right. The receivers don't have, like, practice quarterbacks to catch the ball and all that. The defensive linemen don't have, like, practice runners they can tackle. The kicker has a practice net.
Right.
You can practice. You know what? Who else gets to practice before they come out on the field to do
right,
their thing?
Right before. They come out
it's
the
like,
field.
What if Kurt has the opportunity every time he threw a pass to go on the sideline, practice doing it first?
And then come out there.
Then come out and do it. Right. You can do it.
And here's the thing. I mean, they even got they have the rules where defenders can't jump on the other defender's back or use that as a launching pad. And he missed it. And he'll take responsibility for it. I mean, I don't just think we don't have to make excuses for it. The Redskins ended up tying the Bengals. We call it a loss. But tying the Bengals 27-27 because the field goal kicker missed what should have been a chip shot in overtime.
You got it.
Point blank. It's the Federal Bar Report on Federal News Radio. That's how real we keep it here. Had a chance to catch up earlier last week with Ryan Kerrigan before they left for London.
Big fan of the show.
Yeah, man.
Big
he loves fan. The show. And so yeah, he wanted to come on. and so we'll play a little bit of that interview when we come back on the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio. Welcome back to the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. The website is federalnewsradio.com, the Halloween edition of the Federal Football Report. Just coming across the wires as we're reading it, the Patriots and the Browns just had a trade where the Patriots sent star linebacker Jamie Collins to Cleveland for a compensatory third-round draft pick. Now, these things can be kind of complicated. So currently, the trade is for the 2018 fourth-round selection, but once the league designates the loss of former Brown center Alex Mack, who went to Atlanta in free agency as a third-round compensatory pick for 2017, the Patriots will get that pick instead. Mm. So that's how that all works out. But I think we agreed in the commercial break that if it's in the middle of the season and there's a player who most people consider a star player and the Patriots trying to trade him to you, the answer is no, I don't want to do it.
Don't want.
Even if it seems good and it can be good, the fact that they're doing it makes you feel like, because they're so good at this stuff,
right,
that it makes you feel like, they're going to get over on me. I'm not doing this deal.
Yeah, really,
and you just
no.
say no.
No, Belichick. No, sir. You can keep him. No. Nope.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
What's it? Brady? Nope. Don't want him.
Something bad's happening.
Don't want
so anyway, so had a chance last week before he went to London to sit down and talk to Ryan Kerrigan, speaking of linebacker for the Washington Redskins. And I want to do something different, right? Because normally, so he has an event coming up for his charity, which is the reason why I was able to get the interview.
Right.
Well, one of the reasons, because I mean, he loves the show. He wants to come on, but like, we want to remain, unbiased.
Right.
You know,
right.
We don't
want
to see
we finally wore us down, though. Yeah, eventually. Okay, right.
So,
come on.
Normally, I don't, if anyone listening knows about some of the behind the scenes stuff in media, when a player has something going on, what normally, and you hear this a lot during Super Bowl week, the players will come on a show for 5-6 minutes, and they'll do a 5.5 minute interview, and then the last 30 seconds is spent on what the player actually wanted to talk about.
Right.
And so I want to do something different. And so I said, we're going to spend the first 3.5-4 minutes talking about your foundation and what you do and the great work you do, because it is great work that he does with his foundation. I think it's the Ryan Kerrigan Blitz for the Better Foundation is what it is. He's got an event coming up in Loudoun County at the Topgolf there. And so we talked about his foundation, we talked about his work, and then we talked about just his thoughts on the season so far. And now this was before the tie.
Mm-hmm.
And so, who knows what he thinks about the season now, but this was before the tie happened in London. And so we talked about his thoughts on the season thus far and what he hopes to happen in the second half of the season. Here's that interview. Ryan, thank you so much for taking a little bit of time out of your busy schedule, man. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, yeah, no problem. So many people know your on-the-field work, but you do a ton of great work off the field as well. Let's talk a little bit about your foundation, the Ryan Kerrigan Blitz for the Better Foundation. Tell us a little bit about it and what you guys do.
Well, we started in 2013 with hopes of providing opportunities and resources for youth in the DC area, you know, who have special needs or are physically challenged, providing different opportunities and resources for their family members, and just trying to, you know, make their days a little better. And, you know, with the support of the Redskins fan base and, you know, a lot of the great people in the DC area, we've been able to, you know, have a positive impact on a lot of children. So it's been a lot of fun so far.
You know, that's amazing. What was the inspiration behind starting the foundation? Was there any story behind that?
I have a cousin who's autistic, so I wanted to be able to help kids, you know, like my cousin, help people like my cousin, and also, you know, help people like, you know, my family, that, you know, and like my, you know, aunt and uncle who had to help raise my cousin. So it was, you know, that was the inspiration for starting it. I also went to high school with, you know, some special needs children and special needs individuals that really had an impact on my life. And that was where my inspiration for the foundation came from.
People may not know this, but you won the 2015 Community Man of the Year. And so obviously, you know, doing things in the community and helping people is something that is close to your heart. Talk a little bit about that. Just, I mean, because a lot of folks see you guys as, you know, superheroes, man, you know, and icons and stuff. But how do you manage being able to do so much work in the community with the busy schedule of a football player during the season and during the off season?
Well, I think it's just, you know, a lot of guys take pride in. It's, you know, you see a lot of guys, and, you know, although I got the Community Man of the Year award last year, we had a lot of guys that were deserving, a lot of guys that were contenders, because so many guys are active in the community and are willing to, you know, give up some time out of their week to, you know, help others in need. And my foundation, Prolanthropy, makes it really easy, provides opportunities to give back. And also the Redskins Charitable Foundation provides a lot of opportunities for us to give back. And so it's a fun thing for us. It's like I said, some a lot of guys take pride in, some a lot of guys have fun with.
I'm Claude Jennings speaking with Redskins linebacker Ryan Kerrigan, talking about his foundation. And you guys got a great event coming up at Top Golf, the Ryan Kerrigan Top Golf Challenge. So what's going on with that? Do you play golf?
Yeah, a little bit. I'm not too bad. I love me some Top Golf. And so when we decided to, you know, put an event together, and we decided it could be a Top Golf, I thought that was a win-win, because I know Top Golf's becoming a very popular thing, especially around Loudoun County, where we're going to be having it at. So it should be a great time. All the proceeds will benefit, you know, the proceeds will, you know, benefit my foundation, the Blitz for the Better Foundation. And it'll be a great time. It'll be a good way to, you know, have some fun, relax, but also be able to give back to the community.
No, absolutely. Any of your fellow teammates plan on coming as well?
Yeah, we'll have a lot of my current teammates, a lot of Redskins alumni, and it'll be a lot of fun. It's something, you know, a lot of guys on the team like golfing too, and they love Top Golf, so there'll definitely be a little competition out there, but that'll be good.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because I play a little bit too, and there's always this debate, you know, are golfers athletes? Now, you're one of the best at your position. You're a world-class athlete. Are golfers athletic?
I would say so, yeah. I mean, they to be able to hit a take. A, I mean, knowing from having played so much golf, being able to, you know, do what they do on a golf course is pretty amazing. I mean, the precision and the skill that it takes. So I definitely, you know, think professional golfers are athletes.
What's your grade of the season so far, and what's some of the goals, or what are you aiming for coming up in the second part of the season?
Well, before that, we, you know, obviously got to take care of business with the Bengals this week. We feel like we let one slip away against Detroit this past week, but got to move on. Got to put it in the rear view, and just continue to. We've been playing better ball these past few weeks than we did at the start of the season. So we just got to keep that up and just eliminate the little mistakes that, you know, cost us in games like Detroit.
Mm-hmm. No, that's powerful. And so the grade coming up this for the first half of the season, what do you think? What do you give you guys?
Well, I mean, it's tough to put, like, you know, a specific grade on it, but, you know, we're right in the thick of things with the division, but, you know, we still got, you know, a lot of improvement to go. So we'll hopefully be able to make that coming up in the second half.
Redskins linebacker, the event is Ryan Kerrigan's Top Golf Challenge. It's happening November 7th, 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. at the Top Golf in Loudoun. Thank you so much for your time, Ryan. I really appreciate it.
Hey, thank you. I appreciate it.
That's my conversation with Redskins linebacker Ryan Kerrigan, talking about his great foundation at Topgolf in Loudoun County, Virginia. It's going to be a pretty big deal. Kevin, you know, he talked about his predictions for the second half of the season. Just your thoughts on the first half of the season, the team being 4-3-1.
Well, except for the one, it's not really like it was a surprise, because the team, although it was another year with Coach Gruden at the helm, they didn't really make any significant changes. Mm-hmm. Areas of need last year are pretty much still areas of need this year. We're talking about the defensive line. We're talking about the secondary. And we're talking about the depth in the offensive line. Now, they have added a couple of players, a couple of surprises in the offensive line, and the guys are more interchangeable, whereas LaVar was pretty much locked into his position. Mm-hmm. These guys, Morgan Moses has proven to be a pretty pleasant surprise. And when they have the desire to run the ball, the fumbleitis by mm-hmm. Matt Jones has sort of slowed them up a little bit. And what they have left has been pretty healthy. They don't have they don't have that will, that ability, that determination that we're going to be a run first team. That's just out the window.
Right.
And it's an air attack. It's the old days of Air Coryell and the run and shoot. That's what we have nowadays, and you know, it's effective in terms of statistics, but as we see, it's not as effective in terms of your one loss record.
And see, and this is the thing that I'm not sure if we have the proper perspective for. So it's like, and here's the reason, because last year, as NFC East champions, I think the fact that they won the East and made the playoffs kind of shaded the perspective that the team was better than what they were last year. And they won the last four games. They had a four-game winning streak going into the playoffs. And so we forget the fact that, yeah, they won the East, but they won the East at 9-7, with the Eagles being 7-9, the Giants being 6-10, and the Cowboys without Romo being 4-12. And so I think that, yeah, East champions, but still 9-7. And then so going into the year, if you were to tell folks going into the bye after eight games, the Redskins, because they were high hopes. You know, I mean, again, we had more measured approaches here on this show because.
Right. I mean, this is true.
Exactly.
Right.
But yeah. I mean, you could listen to any of DC media. And I mean, there are guys talking 11-5, 10-6. Going to win the East and have a deep run in the playoffs. We're going to score 42 points a game. I mean, based on the fact that they were East champions and closed the season on a four-game winning streak last year, not the reality of a 9-7 record, because that's what the team is. I mean, you know, who says it? Bill Parcells. Like, we are what our records are. Anyone who says, yeah, we're 8-8, but we're better than 8-8. We're like, no, you're 8-8.
So
they were 9-7.
Yeah.
And so I think with all the high hopes heading into the season, if you were to say after eight games the team will be 4-3-1, that would be a disappointment. But after the 0-2 start, to say after the next six games, you know, you'll be 4-1-1, we'd take that. And so I think it just depends on your perspective of the team. We had a proper perspective thinking 7-9, 8. The range for the team, I think, that we talked about on this show would be anywhere from 9-7 to 7-9 is the bottom, 9-7 at the top. And it seems like they're on pace for that, or at least a 9-6-1 or a 6-9-1 or something like that. And so that seemed to be the range. And so I think, like you said, I mean, when it comes to where I think we are in the season, I'm not sure if we've answered any of the questions that we had in the beginning of the year, and we may have added more questions with the running back situation.
Yes, definitely.
And so I think this team getting any better? Maybe not, but I also don't think the team has reached its full potential yet. I mean, like you said earlier, you look at all these weapons we have. You look at DeSean Jackson, he hasn't found any rhythm just yet. Pierre Garçon still has chemistry issues, it seems, with Kirk Cousins, or at least just not getting him the ball. And so they haven't really reached their potential yet. So have they answered any questions that we had in the preseason or coming into season? No. But are they actually playing to potential? I don't think so either. And so the second half, you know, I think when you look at the rest of the NFC, you know, Dallas has a two-game lead, but that can dissipate. You know, who knows what could happen. But I think when you look at the rest of the NFC, those two wild card spots are wide open. And so you can still salvage this season. I think getting into the playoffs, especially, you know, with maybe a 9-6, 9-6-1 or maybe a 10-5-1 record, it's still possible. A lot of work to do, but still possible. And even when you look at the rest of the schedule, and we'll take a look at the rest of the schedule when we come back on the other side of the commercial break, that some of the games that seemed to be tough when we looked at the beginning of the season may not be as tough because some of those teams don't look to be as good as we thought they'd be.
Now, look, I do have to issue a correction here. I mean, I'm not above making a mistake. I said that it wasn't any vast improvement in certain areas of the team. I did neglect to mention one, Mr. Josh Norman.
Right. Yes.
And we'll
yes.
talk about him a little bit more on the other side of the break. But Josh Norman has been an upgrade.
He's been
an upgrade. Now, that upgrade comes with some baggage, too. But yes. So that has been an upgrade. And you had to wonder, I mean, you know, Monday morning quarterback, and you'd wonder of that first game of the season, once they realized that Josh Norman could play on more than one side of the field, uh-huh. and the results might have been a little different against Antonio Brown, you know?
Yeah.
You just have to wonder that. I mean, because you have to feel if you're Pittsburgh, somebody just handed you a gift. I mean, it's like trick or treat, boom, get some candy. We're not going to have our best corner cover your best receiver.
Uh-huh,
so
uh-huh.
You'd have to wonder what those results could have been like, because we spent a whole solid 2 weeks just talking about that one aspect of the team, right?
Yeah, of have him shadow the best receiver.
Yeah. And the term traveling, which I had never heard in football before
never
in my life. All of a sudden, everybody's
before.
A traveling man, right? Traveling salesman, right? You
never,
know all that. But yeah, that has been an improvement. And I like the youth in the secondary now. I mean, they're learning. They're going to take their lumps, but they don't. It doesn't stick with them.
Right.
They can make a bad play, and then they'll come back and be just as aggressive, just as hungry, just as excitable, hats on the ball as they should be.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I like that.
Absolutely. It's the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, federalnewsradio.com. We're going to talk a little Josh Norman coming back. I want to talk a little bit about Breshad Breeland, some stuff that I saw on Twitter this morning, and just some thoughts that I have about that, and then also the Redskins schedule on this Halloween edition of the Federal Football Report on the Federal News on Federal News Radio.
WFED.
Dustin Hopkins, what went wrong with the kick?
First of all, I'm just disgusted that happened for my guys.
No!
Okay.
No interviews.
Das war eindeutig keine Interviews.
Welcome back to the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. The website is federalnewsradio.com. I'm Claude Jennings. He's Kevin Stanfield. And that was Dustin Hopkins. There was this poor journalist just trying to get the raw emotion in the field right after the game from the kicker. And he's asking him, you know, what happened with that kick? And then all of a sudden, this guy from the Redskins staff runs out. He's like, no interviews. And you know, how funny is that? Does anyone want to tell me that a tie does not feel like a loss after that? Because if he would have won, who would think that guy would have stopped him from doing an interview out there? Come on. No interview.
Just doing his part for international relations. Yeah, that's what they want. They want real NFL in London now. Yeah, what was that? That was so nutty and crazy.
That was wild. But speaking of, I wonder why that guy didn't run to the press room and scream, no. When Josh Norman was criticizing the refs,
you know,
and kind of letting them have it. And you said you had something you want to talk about when it came to Josh Norman.
Anybody who watched the game saw Josh Norman is an exceptional talent.
And
the way he plays with a type of abandon, and he sort of anticipates. I foresee him getting burned because of this. A couple of pump fakes, and he's gone. But yesterday, he had four interceptions. I mean, very athletic moves. Hit him right in the hands. I mean, the palm of the hands, and he has on the sticky gloves, right? And I'm thinking now, and I don't know Josh, I'm sure he's a fine fellow. If he takes a little bit of that energy he's using to talk and celebrate every time he makes a good play and use just a little bit of that energy
just
toward catching the ball, he would have had four picks, you know? And you know what? It's getting kind of old, right? Mm-hmm. You know, I understand you're the greatest in the world. Look at me and all that.
Yeah.
But do your job. You're getting paid a lot of money to do that, right? Just like the kicker's getting paid. Yeah, he lost in the game. You didn't lose in the game. But it's not like this. You're unbeatable. Now, we've seen twice in a row that the quarterback decides when he sees single coverage on you, they're not afraid to throw at you.
Right.
You know, they're
right.
not afraid. Mm-hmm. And because they get results, you get beat.
Right.
And the only reason that people aren't scoring touchdowns on you is because you're grabbing the guy and holding the guy and they're still catching the ball. So maybe just a little bit less of the show. showmanship. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not saying that you can't be Deion.
Like I said, he's definitely a playmaker.
Yes.
You know, he's a playmaker, good defender. I mean, not even just, you know, yes, in the passing game, but he's got a lot of forced fumbles, too, this season, too. I mean, and that's what you want, turnover. But I get exactly what you're saying, and I actually think that it's some of those same antics that almost makes him a target of the refs, if that makes any sense.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
Because
these guys talk, and they know who they like, and they know who they don't like, and then certain guys get certain calls. I mean, we even talked about it before the show about quarterbacks, how, you know, I think Cam Newton's exactly right. Like, I think that there are some quarterbacks that get protected better than he does by the refs. If you sit there and look at the way Cam's getting hit, and I've heard all the arguments that, yeah, well, if, you know, a lot of these plays, you're running like a running back, and there's been several plays where he's in the pocket or where he's scrambling out the pocket with the intent to pass, you can tell, and he's getting hit hard, he's getting hit late, he's getting drugged to the ground. Like, he gets a different set of rules because he's so big and he's so athletic, and that's not fair. But the same thing is that, you know, so when you're Josh, you know these, I mean, we know that sometimes these guys have their favorites. We know that when they played the Giants this year that the refs came to them and said, none of that garbage from last year, guys, with Odell Beckham Jr. and Josh Norman. We know they have their eyes out for him. And so you have to play like you understand that and like you know that. You have to adjust. We get it.
You know, he got flagged 5 times on Sunday for legal hands to the face. The first one might have been an accident. Okay. The second one, I'm sure the ref said, okay, Josh, you're going to have to cut that out.
Yeah.
But after the third one, you know what? He risked a couple of personal fouls and being ejected from the game. That, you know, that's borderline dirty.
Right.
Actually, right?
Yeah,
you know, because what he's doing, all he's doing is like slapping the guy's face mask or something just to receivers get rattled.
Right.
Receivers, it's easy to get rattled. Like, I heard, and I forget who the players were that they were talking about. It was an all-pro cornerback talking about an all-pro receiver. And he said, what I would do is I would just take a guy and I hit him in the head one time real quick. Nothing did that. Hit him just to rattle him, right? Mm-hmm. And so, except when I hit this guy, he laughed.
Right.
He
didn't
laughed.
Work.
And proceeded to go downfield and catch the ball on me, right? You know, so you just can't do that to everybody. But Josh has a talent. Well, he doesn't have to do that. That's not the integral part of his game. I mean, it's not. He's not an intimidator, right?
You know?
Of course, there's nothing wrong with letting the guy. All those guys talk trash, right? But you're hurting your team when you start to give up first downs, right?
You know?
You're hurting your team, so you got to look at, you know, if it persists, then you're talking about being a selfish player, right?
Yeah. You know? No. Right. All right. This is Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio. I'm Claude Jennings. He's Kevin Stanfield. We talked about Josh Norman. I want to talk about his other buddy in the secondary, Breshad Breeland. It was interesting because Breeland. And, you know, there were a couple of I mean, we can call them fans, maybe the NFL fans, Redskin fans, or just, you know, just casual haters who were on Twitter kind of going after him. And this happens all the time to entertainers, to politicians, to
radio show hosts,
and to athletes. And some people always have something to say bad about what you're doing, or you're not good at your job, blah, 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 blah. So there were some folks letting Breeland have it after the loss. And he's responding to it, which is rare because normally these guys don't respond to stuff like that. They just let it, you know, roll off their backs usually. But he was going back and forth with a couple of people on Twitter. If you would follow him, I think his Twitter handle is salute_me17. And I'm watching this, and you know, I tweeted it to him. I said, look, man, you don't respond to these clowns. You know what I mean? Like, you know, because people are, you're in the league, they're on their couch watching you. Like, you've already won. Just let them have their moment saying something. But he just felt like they were getting kind of disrespectful. But I felt like he was kind of losing his cool, you know?
Yeah.
Number one, as an athlete, as a guy on his level, you don't want to lose your cool. You know, you don't want to go down to the level of some guy who's just, you know, watching television, drinking a beer on a Saturday afternoon and thinks that he knows more about your position and football than you do. You know, he doesn't. And even if he did, he can't physically do what you do. You know what I mean? Like, you have nothing to prove to people, you know? And these are fans. And sometimes letting you have it and seeing you get riled up like that is like the ultimate accomplishment in some of these people's lives. Don't give them that pleasure.
Yeah.
Like, just and I have no emotional connection. I'm not friends with Breshad or anything like that. I'm just saying, like, as a person who, look, you're in the league. You've accomplished a lot with your talent and your skill. Not a lot of people can do that. don't lower yourself to respond to, you know, clowns who want to call you names and say things about you. You know, you're in the league. The Skins see you as valuable enough to keep on this team and have a starter. And you have value outside, you know, inside of the league and outside of the league. There's no need to even respond to this stuff.
Yeah, they should outlaw all social media. No, man. Yeah. Did you hear there was a college coach, I forget, at a Division I school who wanted to just ban.
Yeah, his players from using social media. Because it distracts them. It's like, right. Why are you even talking? Like, I can only imagine for a college coach who has these kids, you're worried about all these other distractions, and then for your kid to be distracted because of what somebody posts on Snapchat about them. Yeah. It's like, why are you even caring about this? Because it's something about age that brings that kind of perspective. And maturity, I think, too. I think sometimes this frustration, because clearly, because one of his posts, he said, it's funny how people say things about me now. I bet you'll miss me when I'm gone. And that's when I was like, oh, you know, why do you, like let's not introduce this whole when I'm gone, or like you're leaving, or you think the team's going to cut you, because that's how controversy stirs up. And yeah, it's like, like, why are you even distracted? But I think there's frustration mixed in there. He's a young guy, you know, he's into all that stuff, and so there's probably a little bit of growing that has to happen in that area, too. It's like, why are you even talking? And a message to some of the fans, okay? I'm not trying to judge anybody for what they do for a living, okay? I'm not. But these guys are world-class athletes, meaning they're not just your regular, you know, boys club football player. You know, they probably excelled in boys club. They all probably played quarterback or running back in boys club because that's what the best athletes do, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
They were the best in boys club. They were the best in high school. They were the best in college. And now they're in the league. They're the best of the best, okay? So you can criticize them all you want to, but are you the best of the best of what you do in your field? You know, if not, maybe just enjoy the show and sit back and watch the game. And understand you're a fan, okay? But these people are people. You know what I mean? It's one thing to criticize, man, you got to catch the ball. Can we do this on the show? You got to catch the ball. You got to read the defense. You got to run hard, Matt Jones. We do that. But to say, you know, you don't even deserve to be, you don't even, like, tone it down a little bit with the disrespect, huh?
You're saying when you ask people if they want fries with their Happy Meal, that maybe you should be the best Happy Meal server if you're not. Or if you're, like, restocking the shelves at certain dollar stores that you shouldn't. It's a work ethic thing. Yeah, let me tell you.
Because I don't care.
Now, what if Rashad came to when you were restocking those sales at the dollar store and said, hey, man, why are you stacking the toothpaste up there like that?
It should be in a perfect row.
We got to get a better stacker than that. We need better stackers than that. What if Rashad came to your job and did that?
Isn't there a commercial like that? Like, what if the athletes came to your job and started heckling you? Yeah, I mean, and here's the thing. As fans, they get paid a lot of money. They should be thick skinned. I opened up the discussion talking about how he shouldn't even respond to it. Right. You got to have thicker skin than that, bro. But then at the same time, like, as a fan, it's one thing to cheer your team on or to not like a certain player or to think a player can do a better job. But then when you get personal and want to troll them on social media and all this other kind of stuff, that's just because here's the thing that really irks me about it sometimes is that you'll get a fan every now and again who may be, you know, mid-40s, mid-50s, and they're picking on a 22-year-old. You know, it's like, dude, like, grow up. Like, let somebody say something to your son, you know, for, you know, halfway shoveling the snow out the driveway and ain't gonna pay him any money, you'll get mad. Like, this kid's like 24. Like, you're 56. Leave him alone. Like, why are you trolling people on Twitter anyway? I just, you know, it just bothers me in a way that, because you see these guys, you know, who made something of themselves, used their talent, went to school, made the league, you know what I mean? And now, because they don't play up to your standards of a good NFL player, as if you know what that takes to get there, now all of a sudden you want to troll them on social media. It just irked me.
It's ridiculous,
and
man.
What irked me more than them sending it was him even responding to it.
Yeah,
I was like,
dude, dog,
stop that.
So, Rashad, if you're listening, man, I know you're listening, man. If you have to respond, just let them know that you'll do better, you'll do the best you can, and you want them to do the same thing when they're stocking those dollar store shelves, right?
Nothing against dollar store jobs.
Yeah,
By the way, I worked at McDonald's, my first job out of high school, and I mean, I was the man. And to this day, if I'm sitting in a long line at McDonald's, I'll ask the store manager, do you need me to go back there? Because I'll help. I will help. Because I don't like to see the long lines. They weren't long lines when I was working at the McDonald's when it first opened in PG Plaza.
When they first opened
at McDonald's in 2000, I was one of the first employees. Never had a long line. I'm waiting at McDonald's, the long line today. I'm like, do you need me to go back there and help you? 10 years ago, 15 years ago, I worked here. I can do this. Do you need me to help? help you.
I heard they have an award named after you in that location, man. You
know? Yes, yeah. They do. The Claude Jennings Award at McDonald's.
Yeah. So Master anyway, fries. Yeah, yeah.
It's the Federal Football Report, if you can believe it or not, on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, federalnewsradio.com. Just want to take a look at the schedule ahead of time.
I mean, what we're going to do next week is a bye week, man.
Well, that's the thing. So we're going to do a special show, but I don't know what we're going to talk about.
So much to talk about.
We'll figure something out.
You know, this team is going to be never a dull moment. Who knows who mysteriously will get injured between now and Saturday?
Yeah, yeah. With Matt Jones getting that mysterious injury last week, who knows? Yeah, who knows what's going to happen?
What do you mean I'm hurt?
Yeah, I'm hurt. I didn't know I was hurt.
I'm hurt.
So anyway, we got the bye week coming up. Then the last eight games of the season, we've got a home game against the Vikings. They've got a game tonight. They got a game tonight. Then we've got a Sunday night game against the Packers. I'm going to be at that game, by the way.
Oh,
so
cool,
maybe,
cool.
You know, we'll see if we'll do a live report, or maybe we'll just do the show Monday. Who knows when we'll do it. Sunday night against the Packers at I was about to say RFK at FedEx Field. And then we've got the Thanksgiving game against the Cowboys in Dallas, and then travel to Arizona. The Arizona game is one of the games that I said, hey, you looked at this part of the season and you thought this would be the tough part of the season, but Green Bay's not who we thought they were, at least it seems like it. Now, it's not like they're a pushover. I mean, you still got to play that game and win. There's still Aaron Rodgers, but the Packers aren't who we thought they were. The Cardinals aren't necessarily who we thought they were, but again, not a pushover. You still got to win that game. Then you've got the Eagles in Philadelphia. That's three road games in Dallas, in Arizona, at Philadelphia. Then the Panthers, who may be getting things together by that time. We don't know, but they're not who we thought that they were. So that might be a win you could pick up that we didn't think we'd have. Then the Bears and the Giants. And so, 4-3-1, but there's some games that are shaping up, some teams that are shaping out not to be what we thought they would be in the beginning of the season, but still games you have to win. And I don't think we're in any position to just mark up W's on the calendar.
No, sir.
We actually got to play those games.
Sir,
we can't just mark them up as W's.
No more
Cleveland Browns on this schedule. I mean, the Bears maybe, but no more Cleveland Browns on this schedule. So we're going to have to work at some wins.
And now we have a little bit of a reputation among the league, you know, like Kurt, you know, throwing the ball and teams getting together. And yes, teams do get together and discuss ways of stopping you. We're going to see. We're going to see because they're targets now. They want to be. Right. Remember that controversy we were talking about last week? Stephen A. Smith was criticizing the guy because they said we're the real beast of the NFC East and all that.
I like most of the guys in the DC sports media market. Stephen A. came on 980 and gave Brian Mitchell that work. I mean, that's all I'm going to say. Like, don't call the guy on your show if you're not going to, like you can't say, well, I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is I kind of agree. Like, no. If y'all going to get him on the show, you got to let him have it.
Right.
They didn't let him have it. Stephen A. Smith came on the show and gave him work. So.
Yes, indeed.
Here's what it is. So that's it. Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio. I'm Claude Jennings. He's Kevin Stanfield. 4-3-1. It's a weird Halloween tie edition of the Federal Football Report. There's no game next week, but we'll still be back. And as Mike and Mike says, and better than ever, whatever that means. But we'll be back next week on the Federal Football Report.